This is the Christian Working Woman with Mary Lohman, and I'm Pam Klein, your host. Here's an exercise for you. Name the people in your life whom you know with confidence that they love you. No doubt some names are going through your head immediately. You know, your parents, perhaps, your spouse, your children, a close friend. But is your list missing a few names? Are there names that used to be on your list, but they've been crossed off because, well, the love they expressed for you didn't last? Today, Mary is talking about God's unfailing love because we all desperately need to know that there is a love that never fails.
Oh, is that true, Pam? In fact, we read in 1 Corinthians 13 that love never fails, but no doubt many, if not all of us, have experienced failed love.
Yes.
Love we had but don't have any longer. Love that promised to never fail us, but it did. So how can we believe that love never fails? That's what I'm going to talk about today, because a failed love leaves scars and pains that never seem to go away. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that really is. And the stories abound about failed loves. You know, we all have friends and family, and no doubt some of you do, too, who've suffered through divorce because love just didn't last.
I think of a friend whose husband left her for another woman, and the excuse was, I don't love you anymore. Mm. Failed loves clutter our cultural landscape, and yet the Bible says love never fails. So what does that mean?
And we're ready to hear some answers to that tough question, Mary.
When the Apostle Paul wrote that love never fails, he wasn't talking about romantic love as it is portrayed today. He was describing the way God loves. For example, God loves you simply because he's chosen to do so. He has placed his love on you, and it is unfailing love. That's because his love does not depend on the receiver of the love. Human love, on the other hand, fluctuates based on our feelings, or on the other person's behavior or lack of, or on how they treat us. In Shakespeare's famous sonnet, he says, "Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds." Failed love alters with time, with feelings, with changes in the one loved. But God's unfailing love does not depend on us. It is a love that comes from within him, not from what he finds in us. We can't do anything to cause him to love us. He simply loves us, and we can do nothing to cause him to stop loving us. John says it like this: "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." This kind of unfailing love is really beyond our complete understanding, but it's not beyond our accepting and experiencing God's love. At this year's weekend getaway, April 17 to 19, we're going to focus on God's unfailing love and what that means in our everyday lives. We will explore this love from many perspectives. For example, I'm going to focus on the things that prevent so many of us from feeling and knowing God's love. We sing about God's love and quote scripture about it, but often it's a fact many know in their heads, but not a love that they experience, not a love that makes a difference in their everyday living. Damaris Carbaugh is going to talk about how our failures often make us believe that we can never recover, that God surely will withhold his love from us, or at least he will love us less because we failed. That's a lie from Satan, but it really does happen to us, doesn't it? Because that's the way human love often is. But Damaris is going to talk about that. Carol Kent's workshop will focus on how knowing and living in God's unfailing love will give you staying power for your marriage. You know, often when a crisis hits, a marriage suffers, even a healthy marriage. So Carol's going to focus on the challenges that life throws at us unexpectedly and through no fault of our own. And she's going to explain how the unfailing love of God will give you the love you need to weather such a storm. And even if you're not married, her principles are going to be very helpful. My friend, Afton Norvik, is addressing a topic I know is much needed, encouraging and supporting the introverts among us, as she calls it. She would describe herself as that quiet soul, that introvert, who finds crowds intimidating, but she's learned that you can embrace introvertedness as a gift from the God of unfailing love rather than as a character flaw. I think this is going to be important for a lot of women at the retreat. And Cynthia Leggett will talk about how trusting in God's unfailing love will help you to trust His wisdom in dealing with money. And let's face it, we all deal with money. So many struggle with being a good steward of their money. But Cynthia's going to show you that the words that scare you, like budgets, savings, and debt, can be a healing balm to aid you in the area of contentment. So we're going to approach this topic of God's unfailing love from various practical perspectives so that you will walk away with a renewed understanding of God's love, and you know how to rest in and depend on that love in every area of your life. Michael W. Smith has a song about unfailing love called Never Been Unloved. Here are some of the lyrics. I have been unfaithful. I have been unworthy. I have been unrighteous, and I have been unmerciful. I have been unreachable. I have been unteachable. I have been unwilling, and I've been undesirable. But because of you, Jesus, I know that I have never been unloved. Maybe one of the reasons we don't bask in the truth of God's unfailing love for us is simply because we don't meditate on it enough. Just take these lyrics and meditate on them. How often have you been unfaithful? Remember the times you didn't take the opportunity to share your faith with someone else? Remember when you made a promise you didn't keep? Remember how often your faith has been weak or non-existent and you simply didn't trust God to take care of you? You've been unfaithful, but you've never been unloved. Think of how you've been unrighteous. Those times when you knew to do the right thing, but you didn't, you were unrighteous. But in the midst of that sin, you were never unloved. God's unfailing love was there through it all. I think of how much time I have spent in unwilling mode. Just didn't want to do what God wanted me to do. Didn't want to be patient. Didn't want to put others first and myself last. Didn't want to be inconvenienced or interrupted. I've been unwilling, but I've never been unloved. It's true of all of us, isn't it? That way too often we are unkind and uncaring and unjust and unfair, unflexible and unteachable, but never, ever have any of us been unloved. Because God is love, and He's chosen to love you no matter what. You may have experienced life without much love. People who should have loved you and been good to you, but weren't or haven't yet. You may have been untouched or unaccepted, unseen and unimportant, unqualified or unsophisticated, but you have never, never been unloved. Listen to how David describes God's love. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Do you have memories as a child of running into your mother's or father's arms for safety and security? David says that God's priceless, unfailing love is a place that you can take refuge, a place of safety and security. You run into His hiding place of unfailing love, and the world is shut out. We sing a song about this at my church. You probably do too. The words are so good. They go, higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant through the trial and the change, one thing remains, this one thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. I think that's going to be the theme song for our weekend getaway. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. If you know that song, sing it often. If you don't, learn it and sing it often. You see, we are so prone to forget in the midst of our days, our pains, and our struggles. We have pretty faulty memories that are susceptible to the lies of Satan And he does not want you to be filled with the knowledge of the love of God, of his unfailing love. Paul wrote this prayer to the believers in Ephesus, and it's my prayer for you as well. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul says we can know this love which cannot be known. Did you get that? To know the love that surpasses knowledge, we can know what can't be known, God's unfailing love, and we can be filled to the measure, to the full, with his love. I am so excited about this theme that we're using for this weekend, April 17 to 19, because I think it's going to do so much for all of us as we get an entirely new and exciting picture and understanding of what it means to know the love of God. You know, when I taught the book of John to my class at church, we noticed that John often referred to himself as the one Jesus loves. And yet we know that Jesus loved more than just John, but that was John's identity. And so he called himself the one Jesus loves. And so with my class, we have made that kind of our mantra. And almost every Sunday as I begin the class, I say, good morning, sisters in Christ. Who are you? And they respond with enthusiasm, the one Jesus loves. And the reason I do this is because I know that for myself and for my sisters in Christ, if they really know that they are the one Jesus loves, it's going to make a difference in their everyday life. It's going to make a difference in how they treat other people. It's going to make a difference in their ability to love other people. Because when you are secure in the knowledge that God loves you, then you're free to love other people. So I really want to encourage you to make it a point to attend our weekend getaway, April 17 to 19, where we're going to talk about all weekend God's unfailing love. You will be blessed, I promise, and you will have a new understanding of the incredible truth that God is love and he loves you.
Thank you, Mary. And you don't want to miss the weekend getaway, April 17 to 19, here in the Chicago area, because all weekend long, we're going to be bathed in the knowledge of God's love. That love so great, so unique, so incredible, as Mary described, that God offers to us. I know you're going to want to be part of this, and I'm encouraging you to register today. Keep this in mind. If you register by March 2nd, you'll save $25. So that's a good reason to go ahead and just register now. Invite a friend to join you or come by yourself. You won't be alone for long because you're going to make friends quickly. Lots of really great women come from all across the country. You know, Mary's been giving you a little snapshot of the topics and of the speakers, but all the details are on our brochure, which is online on our website, christianworkingwoman.org. And you can register right there or give us a call and we can mail brochures to you or register you right over the phone. Our phone number is 630-462-0552. Once again, the dates are Friday, April 17, beginning in the evening session through Sunday, April 19, ending at noon. You can come just for part of the weekend if that suits your schedule, but by all means, don't miss out. It's our 32nd annual weekend getaway in April, 17 to 19, and you can register at thechristianworkingwoman.org. We thank you so much for listening today. I'm Pam Klein, saying goodbye for Mary Lohman and the Christian Working Woman.